Hallelujah. Would you turn to Genesis chapter 1? Read verses 1 and 2, please. It says, in the beginning, God created the what? Heavens and earth. So what's the first thing he created? Time. First thing he created was time. And then he created the heavens, and then he created the earth. In other words, he created the spiritual arena, angels to upkeep things of the universe. And verse 2, and it says that the earth was without form. Now we know that, and I'm not going to go into this whole teaching, but we got six stages of the earth. And there was a period of time when the earth was perfect, and it was inhabited by angels also. And the earth was known as the praise and worship. It was known as the mountain of God. It was where praise and worship came from through the universe. And then when Lucifer exalted himself, the Lord shut it down. And it's what they called the Ice Age. And it says the earth was without form. Does God create anything without form? No, it means useless and void. No. When God creates something, he creates something. Believe me, it didn't take God thousands of years to create the universe. He said it, and it was done. So don't go by what all of the scientific world says, because they don't know squat. In fact, their aging is associated with the carbon aging, which is a theory. It's not even a fact. It's an assumption. But anyways, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the what? On the face of the deep. And I want to share something with you. Darkness was on the face of the deep. In other words, when Lucifer fell, God sentenced him to the earth and its atmosphere. He also sentenced him. His throne was known as in the lower parts of the earth. That's why it says now, and says the earth was out form, because it was known as the chaotic earth. It was no longer the perfect earth. It was the chaotic earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the deep. Well, what does darkness represent? Evil, right? Satan's kingdom. And it was on the what? Face of the deep. So this was a face of the deep. In other words, it was a gateway. Because a face of the deep meant that there's something over the deep. And it says, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the what? Waters. Then God said, let there be what? Light, and there was light. And again, I want to share with you that when the word says let there be, it means that it's not creation, it's restore. So when the Lord said, let there be light, it didn't mean he created it then. He said he was restoring it, because he already created it. He didn't have to recreate something he already had. So darkness was on the face of the deep. These were known as the gates of hell, or levels of darkness. Because where there's a face over the deep, darkness was over the face of the deep. So there's an area, there's darkness, and then there's something even deeper, isn't there? And this is what we call the gates of hell. Go to Matthew 8, or what we might call outer darkness too. And Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5 says, is everybody there? 8:5. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully what? Tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I am also a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say this, and one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and he said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be what? Cast out into what? Outer darkness. What kingdom was he talking about? The kingdom of darkness. Does everybody understand that? Those who are not what? Following him. They will be cast out into outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of what? Teeth. These are known as, you know, when you're in sin, you are under Satan's rule. How many of y'all know that disobedience is fellowshipping with the presence of evil? Amen. So these individuals, there were those who were following. He expressed that there were those who were the sons of the kingdom of God, and those were the sons of the kingdom of darkness. And he said that those are the sons of the kingdom of darkness will be in the outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In other words, a representation of torment. In other words, people who serve darkness. Go to Matthew 25. Why? Because that outer darkness is known as a gate of hell. Didn't say hell. I said it was a gate of hell. How many of y'all know you got to go through a gate to get somewhere? Matthew 25. Now let's go to verse 14. He said, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2 talents, and to another 1, to each one according to his own ability. Immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents, and likewise he who had 2 talents. But he who had received 1 went and dug it in the ground and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. I have gained 5 more talents besides them.' And his Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' And he also had received 2 talents, came and said, 'Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. I have gained 2 more talents. And the Lord said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. I'll make you, because you were faithful over a few things, I'll make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' And then he who had received 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you would be a hard man.'" He didn't know him at all, did he? "I knew you'd be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid." He was a what? Fear. "And went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the what? Unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Wow. There will be weeping and gnashing of what? Teeth. So he was the unprofitable servant. Go to Matthew 22. So he really didn't know the Lord, did he? But he said he did. "Yeah, I knew you, Lord. I knew that you would do..." No, he didn't know the Lord. In Matthew 22 and verse 12. Oh, I guess we better start a little bit earlier. In verse 1. Is everybody there? Let's read this together. "And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, 'The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. And again, he sent out other servants saying, "Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding." But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his servants and treated them spitefully and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding is still ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding." So those servants went into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with the guests. But the king came in to see the guests, and he saw a man who did not have on a wedding garment. And he said to him, friend. He said to him, what? Friend. Didn't he say that to Judas? Friend. How did you come in here without a wedding garment? And the man was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. And I want to share, these are just three simple areas which puts a person in the place what we call darkness, which is associated with gates of hell. It's a place of captivity. These are gates of hell. He said the first one was a son who served darkness. He was a son of the kingdom of darkness. He was a servant of evil. That person was placed in the gates of hell. Is everybody with me? Now, I'm not talking about dead people. I'm talking about alive people. And I will go a little bit further. The second one, we talked about unprofitable servant. In other words, he did things his way. And the third one didn't answer when God called him. Does everybody got it? He didn't fulfill his call. And because he didn't fulfill his call, he went into outer darkness. Again, these are three areas a person's soul can be captive in outer darkness with torment. Now, the soul is the mind, the will, and emotions. We must vitally understand that in the mind, it's associated with thoughts. It's associated with memories. It's associated with imagination. And these things activate emotions. When a thought comes in, it activates an emotion, or what we call a feeling. It could be a feeling of sorrow or pain or joy. What about torment? Amen? So these thoughts in the mind, when it comes, they activate emotions of feelings, sorrow or pain or joy, which activates or influences the will of a man or the choice he makes. It activates or influences the choice that an individual makes. So in this, a person's soul, whether associated with thoughts or feelings, gets put into outer darkness. Did you ever get around anybody who's depressed? The part of their soul is in outer darkness. They are in what we call the gates of hell. It's a place before hell. These are people who are alive. I am not talking about people who are dead. These are people who are alive. This is what God wants to deliver them out of, this captivity. Go to Matthew 16. It's a place of captivity. How many know the devil likes to put people on medication? What does it do? Psych meds. What does it do? It puts them in where? It puts them in captivity, doesn't it? Think about that. Make zombies out of people. Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying what? Who do men say that the Son of Man is? And so they said, some John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but what do you say? Who do you say that I am? In other words, what's your relationship with me? You know, there's a lot of people that say, yeah, I've been through cemetery school. I've been through this school. I've been through that school. I've got all kinds of degrees, and they still don't know the Lord. The only thing that they have is knowledge. But they really don't know him. So the only thing they go by is what somebody else says, not what they say, because they really don't know the Lord. See, when you really know the Lord, you worship him. You worship him. You know his presence. You want his presence. See, if you don't know him, you don't want his presence. There are many people who say, I know the Lord, but they don't know him at all. And verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, you are the what? The Christ, the Son of the living God. Now let's identify Christ. Christ means anointed one. The word anointing is the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty who came into the natural realm. So when Simon Peter said, "You are the Christ," he wasn't just looking at him as, "Hey, you're Joseph and Mary's son named Jesus." He wasn't looking at him through natural carnal eyes. He looked at him as the eternal one, carrying the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. He looked at him as God Almighty in this realm, because he looked to him through the eyes of the Spirit, not through the eyes of carnality. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood, carnality, has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter." Now, this doesn't mean he's going to be the first pope, okay? And on this rock, the word rock is association with the foundation of all things, which is the anointing. In other words, when Moses broke the rock, what came out? Water, representing the Spirit, when he hit the rock. So when he said, "On this rock," is everybody with me? "And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock, on the foundation," the revelation, that the anointing is a foundation, "I will build my church." Doesn't a church have to have a foundation? Amen. And what? Come on, read it with me. "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Against what? The anointing. So here it is. In the anointing is the eternal presence, power, and truth. The eternal presence, power, and truth. The Bible says those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. So if somebody's not led by the Spirit, what are they? They're a son of darkness. There's no gray area. You're either serving light or you're serving darkness, one or the other. And if a person's a part of their soul, part of their character is in captivity in the gates of hell, they're going to manifest it. It'll express darkness through them. It will not express light. "The gates of hell shall not prevail against the anointing." Again, the eternal presence and power and truth. So that means that as you and I are walking in the Spirit, we are living in the Spirit, we're being led by the Spirit. So the eternal presence and power and truth of God Almighty is taking us out of captivity. The reason why people go into captivity is because they're not being led. They're being deceived. Satan's greatest weapon is deception, and his power is fear. Now, let's go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18. "Little children, it is the last hour, and you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the what?" Now, what's the Antichrist? It's like these are demonic forces. It's against the anointing, the eternal presence and power and truth. So what they're always trying to do is bring somebody into captivity so that the anointing can't be expressed. Has everybody got it? I'm sharing with you that the anointing must be expressed after it's caught. It says that they went out from us, but they were what? Not of us. Why were they not of us? Why did they go out from us? Because they got deceived, didn't they? Amen? "For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made what? Manifest. That none of them were of us. But you have a what? An anointing from what? The Holy One, and you know what? You know all things." That's if you're listening. That's if you're in fellowship. That's if you're walking in the anointing. You will know all things. So will you know when the devil's trying to bring you in captivity? Yes. Go to John 16. John 16. "Outer darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth." It's a place of torment. It's not a place where you die and go to. This is a place where you're alive and you're getting captive. In John 16, verse 13, what did Jesus say? Is everybody there? Let's read it. However, when he, the Spirit of what? Truth. Now, wait a minute. Isn't the anointing the eternal presence, power, and what? Truth. That's why he's called the Holy Spirit. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will what? Guide you into all truth, and he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you what? Things to come. See, this is the difference between religious and relationship. Because in relationship, you're walking in the anointing. And I'm not talking about knowledge relationship. I'm talking about person to person presence, your presence and his presence. Relationship. And he will tell you things to come. You know, his presence speaks. In verse 14. And he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine, and he would what? Declare to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. So in this, in the anointing, which is the only thing that's going to prevail against the gates of hell or get us out of captivity, in the Asola Shrina, is the anointing. And that is because we will know all things. He tells us things to come so we don't go in. He gets us out of the clutches of the gates of hell that lead us to hell through truth. Why? Truth is light. So if you're in darkness, hello, what are you going to have to look for? Light. But truth is light. Now, you may know the truth, but if you're not practicing it, can you get in captivity? Yes. Over and over and over. I am tired of believers telling me they know the truth, and they're bound. They're bound. They're bound by torment. They're going to the doctor and getting goofy depression medication and all kinds of stuff, which is bringing them in worse condition than what they were. They're listening to the world, which is outer darkness itself. Well, I've been a believer 30 years. Well, it's time you learned. Truth is light. Light is life. Where there is no truth, there is no life. Where there is no life, there is no light, right? So when a person is taken into captivity, they are in darkness. They cannot see. They don't even understand what's going on. And they're tormented. Tormented with guilt, condemnation, fear. It keeps them encaged in this place. And I'm not talking about dead people. I'm talking about people who are alive, although they seem to be dead. And God is waiting for them to cry out and practice the truth and break this stuff. Truth is light, and light is life. Is everybody okay? Psalm 82. The gates of hell, these are almost like ports. You know, the portals that you, you know, I remember a dream I had one time, and it blew me away because I was going through a battle. I walked out of my house, and this was in the dream, and I was walking down the driveway, and somebody took my attention, and I turned and looked at them, and next thing I know, I was stepping in something, I began to fall, and I was falling, and I lifted my hands up and called out on the Lord, and he lifted me up. And he began lifting me up. And I was floating in the air. In the driveway was this round circle. And it was like water. But it was bottomless. And I was hovering over it. And I could sense the powers of darkness trying to grab me. So I began to wiggle my feet and torment them. Because I knew he couldn't get me. Can't touch this. And I hovered over it. And I hovered back. And I got back on the solid ground. And then I went up again, and I went over it again. And the Lord let me know. He says, that's the deception. See, you can't see sometimes right where you're walking. That's why you must be led by the Spirit. See, because in the Spirit, if there's something you miss, he doesn't. Come on, I'm going to say that again. If you're in the Spirit, if there's something you miss, he doesn't. That's if you're in the Spirit. Oh, glory. Man, I was just floating over there. Woohoo! Wiggling my feet. Come on, you can't touch me. And he couldn't because the anointing was upholding me. But they just tried to get me into the gates of hell in captivity. How many of you know addiction is the gates of hell? How about pornography? All of these areas, the devil tries to encage us. That's why his greatest weapon is deception and his power is fear. He's trying to get us in the gates of hell until we die and go to hell. Psalm 82. God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Somebody was upset. Defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and the needy. Free them from the hand of the wicked. They do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are unstable. Look it. I said you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. So listen. He's talking about the children of the Most High who are walking in darkness. He says, my own children are walking in darkness. They walk about in darkness. They do not know, nor do they understand the depths of Satan's kingdom. Look at this. He said, listen, these are my own children. If you keep this up, he said, you will die like men and fall like one of the princes. He's talking about powers of darkness. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all nations. Even children of God walk in darkness because of the lack of knowledge or the practice of truth in relationship. Revelation 9. Revelation 9 and verse 1. The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star falling from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the what? Bottomless pit. This is also known as the abyss. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of it like the smoke of a great furnace. So even in this area, this abyss, he said that he opened it. So if there's an open, is that a gate? Yes. He opened it because he had a key. A key is used to open a gate. And he said what arose out of it was smoke as of a what? Great furnace. What do you call that place? Hell. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the what? The pit. Then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth. And to them was given what? Power, as of the scorpions of the earth have power. And they were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to what? Torment them. Put them in where? The gates of hell. To torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. So understand that even at this time, there are, and this is associated not only with locusts, okay, in the physical arena that were out biting people, but it's associated with demonic powers of darkness. How many of y'all know a serpent bites? Puts a venom in you. These were given authority to torment. They were released from the bottomless pit or what we call the abyss. And they put people in the gates of hell. Go to Exodus 10. You know, the Bible says, as a man thinks, so he is. As a man thinks, so he is. So what do you think the devil is trying to do? He's trying to get you into captivity through what? Thoughts, images, memories. Woe is me. Exodus chapter 10 and verse 21. These are the plagues that the Lord told Moses. Now look at this in verse 21. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven that there may be what? Darkness over where? Over the land of Egypt. Darkness which may even be what? Felt. Tormented. So Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. And they did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Then Pharaoh called to Moses and said, "Go, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be kept back. Let your little ones also go with you." But Moses said, "You must also give us sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Our livestock also shall go with us. Not a hoof shall be left behind, for we must take some of them to serve the Lord our God, and even we do not know what we must serve the Lord until we arrive there." But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. Then Pharaoh said to him, "Get away from me. Take heed to yourself and see my face no more, for in the day you see my face, you shall die." So Moses said, "You have spoken well. I will never see your face again." So in this, this again was released at this period of time to torment them. Does everybody understand that? Darkness in the land, all over the land. Why? Because it's what we call hell on earth in some sort, but it was actually the gates of hell bringing people into captivity. Why? When they went through this, what happened to them? Think about it. When they saw these things, didn't they curse God? Amen? They cursed God. They didn't understand. Some of them didn't understand why God would do this to them. Psalm 88 and verse 1. I want you to see all the gates of hell here. Would you read it with me? "O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried out day and night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry." Soul is what? In trouble. So do you think he meant tormented? Yeah. "And my life draws near to the" what? That's another gate of hell, the grave. So if you live near a cemetery, you think you might have a little conflict? Yeah, you will. How about houses that are built on cemeteries? Those are portals. Okay? That's why your properties and your lands must be broke. Curses must be broke off of these things. Verse 4. "I am counted with those who go down to the" what? Pit, another gate of hell. "I am like a man who has no strength, adrift among the" what? Dead. That's the gate of hell. Underline these places. "Like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, and who are cut off from your hand. You have laid me in the" what? Lowest pit, another gate of hell. These are all gates of hell. "In darkness, in the" what? Depths. "Your wrath lies heavy upon me. You have afflicted me with all of your waves. You have put away my acquaintances far from me." You know what happens is when people come into this captivity, they begin to get isolated. The deeper the captivity, the further the way from isolation. And let me tell you, if a person can continue to go, because the devil's trying to get that person to kill themselves. "You have put away my acquaintances far from me. You have made me an abomination to them. I am shut up and I cannot get out. I cannot get out of the captivity that I am encaged in. My eye wastes away because of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon you. I have stretched out my hands to you. Will you work wonders for the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise you? Shall your loving kindness be declared in the grave, or your faithfulness in the place of destruction?" Now, I want you to understand that he's not talking about dying. He's talking about being alive and being in these places of bondage, captivity. "Shall your wonders be known in the grave, and your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But to you I have cried out, O Lord, and in the morning my prayer comes before you. Lord, why do you cast off my soul? And why do you hide your face from me? I have been afflicted and ready to die from my youth. I suffer your terrors. I am distraught. Your fierce wrath has gone over me. Your terrors have cut me off. They came around me all day long like" what? "Water." Water. How many of y'all know that the enemy comes in a flood of water? "They engulf me altogether. Loved one and friend you have put far from me, and my acquaintances into" what? "Darkness." This person is so far away, so far out now. This is exactly what this individual feels like, because this, the emotions of now of terror and torment have taken over because of the thoughts that have been brought upon them. Is everybody with me? Is everybody okay? The grave, the pit, dead, death, the depths of darkness, can't get out. Go to Revelation 12. They came around me all day long like water, the attack of the enemy. Let me tell you, when you're down, the enemy does not show up with a bow and arrow. He shows up with a harpoon. He knows that if he can get you down enough, he keeps driving you, driving you, driving you until you kill yourself. Remember, he's out to steal, kill, and destroy. Revelation 12. Is everybody there? In verse 13. Now when a dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he what? Persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given two wings of an eagle, great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, where she is what? Nourished for a time and times and a half a time from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed what? Water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood and get her where? Caught into what? The gates of hell. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So he is after you and me, you know that. His purpose is to get us into the gates of hell, into captivity. He spewed water like a flood to capture or imprison or put into the gates of hell the woman and the offspring. Psalm 40. Hallelujah. In verse 1. Psalm 40 in verse 1. Very powerful. I waited what? Patiently. That word wait means to endure. Fight. I waited patiently for the Lord. Many people think it's just sitting in front of the TV and waiting on God. You must fight. Somebody got it. So make sure you fight before you sit in front of the TV. And then you fight when you're done. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he what? And he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. He also brought me up out of the what? Well, out of the what? Horrible pit is that? The gates of hell? Yeah. Place of captivity? Yeah. Out of the what? Miry clay. The word, this miry clay means depression. It is a place of depression. Miry clay. And he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth. Whoa. Praise to our God. Many will see it in what? Fear, and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Aside to what? Lies. Let me tell you what a lie is. It's a label. It's a what? It's a label. Now listen. We know that in our thought patterns, right? It means you heard something. So your thoughts are going to activate an emotion, right? Or a feeling, which is going to activate a choice you make. So in this, like the horrible pit or the miry clay depression, it's a state of depression. It's generated by labels. You don't know what's in the can until you read the label, right? So everything's associated with a label. You don't know what kind of book this is unless you read it. It says Bible. So it has a label. Everything, every label is associated or connected with something. Does everybody got it? It's either connected with darkness or light. It's connected with life or death. It's connected with freedom or bondage. So these labels are placed on us. We can place our own labels on us by the things we speak. Or they can be placed on us by others, by the things we agree with. Or these labels can be passed on through inheritance. These are labels that must be broke. Now I'm going to ask you to do something. I want you to write all the labels that you have labeled yourself, that others have labeled you, and that what you've inherited of a label. Whether it's through, let me give you an example, hatred. There's people that still hate. The only thing you and I are supposed to hate is evil. Fear. Anger. How about resentment? How about jealousy? Bitterness. Revenge. In other words, these labels that are attached to us, how about depression? Offense. All of these things, anything that you are, how about poverty? How about you've been to a doctor and you've been labeled bipolar? Amen. You break that label and you can say bipolar. How about all of these things? How about ex-con, fornicator, adulterer, addict? That's why you don't go to 12 steps, because you keep labeling yourself every time you go. The Bible says out of the mouth, the tongue speaks life or death. There's where the power is. Amen? These labels, they are that attach to us, they attach us to the gates of hell. Is everybody with me? They attach to us by the gates of hell, by deception. I'm talking about the labels that attach us to the gates of hell. They attach to us by deception, agreement, inheritance. How about traumas or transgressions of sin? Things that you've cooperated with the presence of evil and did. These things are labels. So I want you to do something. I want you to write down every single label. Next Tuesday night, you bring all the labels that are on your life that you know of, and you bring them up here, and we're going to pray, and we're going to break them off and command, because these labels have associated spirits, and this is deception, and a part of your soul is in the gates of hell in captivity, and it puts limitations on our life. And it's time. See, we have the power to shut the mouth, not only your own, but the mouth of the gates of hell, the ports that open up and waiting for us. We have the keys to the kingdom to unlock all of these places of encagements. How about rejection? You ever been rejected? How about offended? Those are all labels. Some of us are still walking with it. We're still carrying that stinking same attitude. Well, I just haven't earned anybody's trust. It's because you got a label and it's got you in captivity in the gates of hell. I can't trust nobody. That's a terrible way to be. That's called fear. That's called fear. Oh, I'm protecting myself. No, you're not. You're encaging yourself. You're in the gates of hell. That isn't something pure. Amen. If it's not pure, then something's not right. Psalm 23. Psalm 23 and verse 1. The Lord is my what? He is my shepherd. He's my overseer. He's my hope, my strength, and my life. He's my love. He's my everything. He's my provider. He's my deliverer. He's my healer. He's my defender. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. That word want means lack. That's when he is really your everything. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He makes me lie down. He leads me beside still waters. In other words, pastures to eat, waters to drink. He restores my what? My soul, my mind, my emotions, and will, so that they're in divine order with him. He leads me in the path of what? Righteousness, because practicing righteousness is the will of God. So if you're practicing righteousness, you're making the right choices for his namesake. Verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the what? Valley of the shadow of death. I said he walks through. He's not encaged there. He's walking through the shadow of the valley of death. He says, I will not fear. Why? Because fear will keep him there. Do you understand this? Fear will what? Keep me there. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they what? Comfort me, because that's your guidance. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. And that's when you can float over and twinkle your toes at them. You anoint my head with oil. Why? Because you're backed by the anointing. I want you to see the whole end result here. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't lack anything. Why? Because I'm in divine order. I'm being led. I'm in the spirit. He's guiding me where to lay down and eat. He's bringing me to the place that I'm supposed to drink. Healthy spiritual food, not junk food. Though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I will not fear. If I fear, I get caught there. Amen? He's going to guide me with his rod and staff. Right? And he's prepared a table for me in the presence of my enemies. He's prepared a table for me in the presence of my enemies. It's not their table. It's my table. This is my table in the presence of the enemies. My table. And everything of all my provisions, anything I need is at the table. He's already anointed my head so I can get to the table. And when I get to the table and sit down and I commune with my Father, you know what happens? My cup runs over. I get more anointing. And then I can dance even more. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In other words, I'm going to stay in his presence. See, it doesn't matter if I lack in the physical arena, as long as I don't lack in my relationship in the spiritual arena with him. Because people are looking at the physical. There's a lot of people who have a lot of wealth, and they are tormented and miserable. And there are people living in cardboard boxes that are just blessed. Oh, yeah. Lead me out and shut the mouth of the gates of hell by the anointing. Shut the gates of hell. Take the key from the devil. Jesus did it and gave it to me and you. The problem is people don't even know they're carrying them. And the keys are on their hip. And they hear the jingle, jingle, jingle. And it's not Santa Claus. They just don't want to use them. See, they're waiting for somebody else to rescue them when it's been given all in their power. When's somebody going to come and get me? When are you going to stand up? When are you going to fight? When are you going to get your eyes off yourself and come out of that cage? You got the keys. You know, if you were in a prison, wouldn't you want to use the key to get out? Why would you wait for someone when the key's on you? There are people going to die in that place, not realizing that the key's been on their side the whole time because of labels. So in the prison cell, every once in a while, a word will come up. Jealousy. Oh, nobody. Offended. Do you remember this person? Do you remember what that person did? Do you remember all of these labels? Man, you need to put under return to sender. Romans 13, verse 11. And do this knowing that the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep. How many of you know the devil likes to put you to sleep? Man, did you ever notice you pick the Bible, but you get tired? You pick up the Sports Illustrated, poof, anything else you can read, the newspaper, anything. The devil, he loves for you to sleep when you try to read the word. It's high time to wake and come out of sleep, for now is our salvation is nearer than we have first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand, therefore let us cast off the works of darkness. And let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and in envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Cast off the works of darkness. Get rid of those labels. Ephesians 5. Labels are denominations. We are not, it has nothing to do with your denomination. These need to be broke. Because there were things that were done in the denominations in history that are not good. Same thing with your culture. And I was at a place today, and the woman says, oh, you're Italian? I said, no. My blood now runs from the throne room of God. I said, I used to be Italian, but now I'm Christ-like. Why? I broke that cultural label off of me. I fulfilled it for a long time, and I don't want to fulfill it anymore. Got me in trouble. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 7. Verse 8. For you were what? You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. and have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. See, I'm telling you again, people don't realize that these labels are unfruitful works of darkness. You know, people want to label themselves of where they work. Hi, I'm such and such, and this is what I do. Bummer. Hi, my name is Guy, and I'm a servant of the Most High. I'm one of the king's kids. Sometimes spoiled and sometimes chastened. But as long as I'm not in the cage, that's all that matters. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Expose those labels. For it is shameful even speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things are that are exposed are made what? Manifest by what? Light. And what is light? Light is truth and light is life. Amen? It's life. It's not religion. Some of us need to break off that religious label. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep. Arise from the what? Hey, man, he's not talking about people who are dead. He's talking about those who are alive who are acting like they're dead. And Christ will give you light, or he will give you life. We need to get rid of these labels. Colossians 1, we'll close here. As a man thinks, so he is. We want to be label-free. We only want to have the seal of the Lord. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. For all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. How many of y'all know darkness has power? Amen. And conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have prominence. Now this is powerful. Again, let's get these labels together. Amen? Because every label has a spirit. And if you're either attached to the gates of hell or heaven. But the one brings bondage, the one brings freedom. Amen? The only label we want on us is the seal. King's kid. Amen. No more foolishness of religiosity. This is a real relationship with the King of Glory. It's not about what you know. It's who you know. Your presence in his presence and his presence in yours. It's a love affair. It's intimacy. It's oneness in the Spirit. It's where he's always before you. Always with you. And when you blow it, sorry. It's like you stepped on his foot. Oops. See, but the labels don't allow you to see that. They allow you to see him as a God of judgment. You're not worthy to be rescued. You're doomed forever. You'll never amount to anything. Look at what you've done. Hallelujah. He's a dad that loves us and forgives us. He desires no one to be lost. No one. He desires no one to come in captivity in the gates of hell. No one. And he's given us the truth, the power, and the love. He's given us the anointing. We need to use it, though. It doesn't jump off the shelf by itself. Hello. Use what you've given. He's been given to you, and you'll get more. Don't use it, and you'll lose it. That's how people go back into captivity. come out of the outer darkness and get into the glorious light of His love, His presence, and His truth. And let Him wrap His arms around you and love you. Let Him melt your heart. And let Him guide you by His Spirit. Amen. Let's get these labels broke. Let's bring them in Tuesday and kick some butt. Father, we thank You for Your word. We are honored and blessed. You're very good to us, Lord. You're faithful when we're faithless. And I sure don't know how You put up with me, but You do. Though we could comprehend Your love for us is difficult, but we trust. And we surrender. We cast these cares on You. We cast everything on You, Lord. All of our hopes and our dreams and desires, Lord, we just give them to You tonight. We surrender it all, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that You would just dress us with Your presence and fill us with Your love. And that You'll keep our eyes on You. And we promise to give You all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' name.